Good morning, long time no see. This is the Daily with Sol Stein through Anchor FM presents the Coffee Chronicles. As you can hear in the background, I'm starting to make coffee. This is my second cup and it's Krispy Kreme. Today I want to have a special show for the Daily with Sol Stein through Anchor FM, and I'm going to do my book recommendation. It's been a bit and I want to bring that back. And hopefully talk about a future newsletter that I'm going to work on for the Daily with Sol Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. I'm going to give an update of everything that's going on. And right now, I'm enjoying my Krispy Kreme coffee on my Keurig. And I look forward to seeing you guys. Do you hear that? There's coffee coming out in my dual Keurig that I have now. Here we go. And we're back to the Daily with Sol Stein through Anchor FM. Good morning. Happy, happy Wednesday. Today is June 23rd, 2021. Oh my God, it's been a while since I've been here. Let me tell you guys, it's been quite a bit of a while that I've been able to do this podcast. I had the Daily with Sol Stein through Anchor FM, which I was very happy to be back. And I had an interview with the amazing Joe Flair. And if you have not checked out his show, he's a fellow anchor. He has a podcast on Anchor, the Joe Flair Show, and his Sidekick Kit. I hope you'll check them out and their monthly podcast that they do. They have several episodes, more than several episodes now. I believe there was 5 so far. And he talked about how he got started, where he's, you know, what he's hoping to do with his podcast and where, you know, the people that or the celebrities that he's talked about and his dream of always like doing like a radio show or a podcast, and how music is a big part of his life. So I really hope you check out the latest interview that I did with Joe Flair, and check out the rest of the interviews that I've done. It's been a bit. I work and I'm off for the summer, and I'm enjoying trying to catch up, but it seems like I still have a lot of catching up to do. I get overwhelmed and I'm trying to find and navigate through to trying to do more shows with the podcast and spreading them out all evenly. But anyway, so good morning. I'm happy to be back on the Daily with Sol Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicle, especially when I'm doing this in the morning. I'm drinking my Krispy Kreme. I hope everyone's having a fantastic day. But I also wanted to let you know that I will be also having another interview with another fellow author, indie author, Francine Lee W. Currently, she's got several works, I think anthologies out. She's working on her latest dystopian novel, which she'll tell us more about. But she has so many creative hats, from editor, writer, she's got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in journalism. I don't know. She's got so much stuff. We're going to talk to her. She is on TikTok. So if you have not followed her, check her videos out on TikTok, Francine Lee W. And she's also on Facebook and Instagram. And you, like I said, hopefully you'll get to know more about her. She's been on my show before, but now we're kind of focusing on her endeavors as an author and what's coming for her and all the latest news. So be looking forward to that wonderful interview with Francine Lee W. I'm so excited to have her on the podcast tomorrow. As soon as it's over, we'll share the interview. And so check that out to be coming out tomorrow. I'm also hoping to do another podcast with the amazing Kate Marie. We just have to set up a time to work together next week and also do a live Q&A with Francine Lee W. at some point with Kate Marie and anyone else that's interested in doing a live Q&A with me on Instagram is more than welcome. So we'll get more to that. But I want to get to the latest news as far as my book. I finally got my manuscript back from the editor. I found a wonderful editor and through Readzy. So if you don't know any good editors, check them out on Readzy. They have a lot of great tools to use. And I know that editing can be pricey, but believe me, it is worth it. And if you can do payments, that's even better, which is what I did. But I think a big part of writing a book, and I'll have a show all about that, is to focus making sure that your book is properly edited and a good book cover. Those are, for me, are essential parts of when you, as far as what I've learned as being an indie author, things I would have changed from my other books that I would definitely do differently now. So make sure, and there's a lot of people that know all about that and have their own formatting stuff that they do. Like Kate Marie is amazing. She's written a lot of books now, and she's taking out even more books. So we'll get to know more about her. She's got her website, which is functionally fictional, and she also helps other authors and editing and different things. So make sure you check her out. And there's a lot of different things, but I'm really happy that I got my manuscript. I'm going to be working on that this summer, hopefully have it edited again early in the year. And then maybe by next year, my novel, Battered Mind, will finally be released. So we'll see. A lot of different things happening. But like I said, there's not so much time. So this is the reason. But anyway, so we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back to talk about books and coffee, of course. Good morning. This is The Daily with Sol Stein through Anchor FM presents The Coffee Chronicles. We're back to The Daily with Sol Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents The Coffee Chronicles. And now I'm on to my book recommendations. The book I recommend is The Woman in Cabin 10. That's the book I'm currently reading. I was trying to finish it, but it's been really busy, so I finally got back to getting it done. The Woman in Cabin 10 is by author Ruth Ware. And basically, it is a thriller, which I've read several of Ruth Ware's books so far. And she's got, of course, In a Dark, Dark Wood, The Lying Game. And now I'm reading The Woman in Cabin 10. And the way it's described, instant New York Times, USA Today, and Los Angeles Times bestseller. It was chosen by librarians as the number one library reads favorite of favorites for 2016. So this book came out back then, but I just got a chance to, you know, finally got a chance to read it. And it says, a skim reads pick named by the Washington Post as one of the best mysteries and thrillers of 2016. And it says, Reese Witherspoon says, an edge of your seat thriller and on the most beautiful yacht in the world, full of great characters and twists, and you all should check it out. And then The Skim wrote, this beach read thriller has sun, suspense, and goes well with SPF. And then the Oprah Magazine calls it pulse quickening. And the Library Journal says, a psychological thriller that will keep readers spellbound. The intense final chapters just might induce heart palpitations. So if you're a fan of Agatha Christie, get ready to curl up with the suspenseful mystery. Russell said that. Rustle. And this book just may do cruise vacation. This book just may, due to cruise vacations, What Jaws Did to Ocean Swimming, Star Tribune. And then, of course, her next book was The Lion Game, and I read that, and I'll recommend it another time. But I'm going to tell you about Ruth Ware. Give me a moment here so I can focus on that. Okay, give me a moment here. I can load up. Usually they have a page for the author. And she gives a preview of The Lion Game, which is a great, also another suspense book. Let me look up Ruth Ware, because apparently it's not loading up her bio page. Give me a second. Let me type in. Luckily, my husband's iPad's right here, so I'll have to look it up. And in a moment. Okay. Let me open up. Take this off. Give me a moment, guys. Sorry about that. Ruth Ware. Okay. Ruth Ware is an international number one bestseller. Her thrillers, In a Dark, Dark Wood, The Woman in Cabin 10, The Lion Game, The Death of Miss Questaway, The Turn of the Key, and One by One have appeared on bestseller lists around the world, including the Sunday Times and New York Times, and she is published in more than 40 languages. She lives on the south coast of England with her family. You want to get to know more about Ruth Ware? Visit her on www.ruthware.com to find out more. So if you're looking for a suspenseful thriller to read, The Woman in Cabin 10 is one of the best. Of course, there's others like Leanne Moriarty, whom I love, and her book, Nine Perfect Strangers. That's another book that I highly recommend. The series is going to come up on Hulu soon, and it has an all-star cast. Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy, Bobby Cannavale. So many other, you know, characters that I saw that were in that cast. So I hope you check out, you know, the all-star cast for the Nine Perfect Strangers with Leanne Moriarty. But today I wanted to focus back to Ruth Ware and The Woman in Cabin 10, because that is a suspenseful thriller. So I wanted to highly recommend that. I started writing Battered Mind as another thriller. It has its moments, but it's suspenseful as well because there's a lot going on with the characters. And I got inspired by so many authors. For example, Gillian Flynn, which is a little more darker. But I love the flow of the fluidity of her writing. And of course, there's Paula Hawkins, The Girl on the Train. There's Leanne Moriarty. There's Ruth Ware. And like I said, those authors really like kind of course, you know, the magic of Stephen King, even though he's more horror. I was able to kind of get inspired with my story, Battered Mind. And hopefully that'll come out next year. So and there'll be more to talk about with that, hopefully. But I wanted to just, like I said, it's a short show. I just wanted to kind of give you all an update, share about The Woman in Cabin 10. But I will read a little bit of it. Chapter 1. I'm going to go into Chapter 1. Friday, September 18. I'm going to read a little bit of The Woman in Cabin 10. The first inkling that something was wrong was walking in darkness to find the cat pawing at my face. I must have forgotten to shut the kitchen door last night. Punishment for coming home drunk. Go away, I groaned. Delilah mewed and butted me with her head. I tried to bury my face in the pillow, but she continued rubbing herself against my ear, and eventually I rolled over and heartlessly pushed her off the bed. She thumped to the floor with an indignant little meep, and I pulled the duvet over my head. But even though the covers, I could hear her scratching at the bottom of the door, rattling it in its frame. The door was closed. I sat up, my heart suddenly thumping, and Delilah leaped onto my bed with a glad little chirrup. But I snatched her to my chest, still stealing her movements, listening. It's a little dark in here, so I apologize. I might well have forgotten to shut the kitchen door, so I could even have knocked it without closing it properly. But my bedroom door opened outward, a quirk of the weird layout of my flat. There was no way Delilah could have shut herself inside. Someone must have closed it. I sat frozen, holding Delilah's warm, panting body against my chest and trying to listen. Nothing. And then, with a gush of relief, it occurred to me she'd probably been hiding under my bed and I'd shut her inside without me when I came home. I didn't remember closing my bedroom door, but I might have swung it absently shut behind me when I came in. To be honest, everything from the tube station onwards was a bit of a blur. The headache had started to set in on the journey home, and now that my panic was wearing off, I could feel it starting up again in the base of my skull. I really needed to stop drinking midweek. It had been okay in my 20s, but I just couldn't shake off the hangovers like I used to. Delilah began squirming uneasily in my arms, digging her claws into my forearms, and I let her go while I reached for my dressing gown and belted it around myself. Then I scooped her up, ready to sling her out into the kitchen. But when I opened the bedroom door, there was a man standing there. There's no point in wondering what he looked like, because believe me, I went over it about 25 times with the police. Not even a bit of skin around his wrists. They kept saying no, no, and no. He had a hoodie on and a bandana around his nose and mouth, and everything else was in shadow except for his hands. On these, he was wearing latex gloves. It was that detail that scared the crap out of me. Those gloves said, "I know what I'm doing." They said, "I've come prepared." They said, "I might be after more than your money." We stood there for a long second facing each other, his shining eyes locked onto mine. About 1,000 thoughts raced through my mind. Where the hell is my phone? Why did I drink so much last night? I would have heard him come in if I'd been sober. Oh Christ, I wish Judah was here. Most of all, those gloves. Oh my God, those gloves. They were so professional, so clinical. I didn't speak, I didn't move, I stood there, my ratty dressing gown gasping, and I shook. Delilah wriggled out of my unrelenting hands, shot away up the hallway to the kitchen, and I just stood there, shaking. Please, I thought, please don't hurt me. Oh God, where was my phone? And I saw something in the man's hands, my handbag, my new Burberry handbag. Although the details seemed monumentally unimportant, there was only one thing that mattered about that bag. My mobile was inside. His eyes crinkled in a way that made me think he might be smiling beneath the bandana, and I felt the blood drain from my head and my fingers, pulling into the core of my body, ready to fight or flee, whichever it had to be. He took a step forwards. No, I said. Wanted it to sound like a command, but it came out like a plea. My voice small and squeaky and quavering pathetically with a fear. No, but I didn't even get to finish. He slammed the bedroom door in my face, hitting my cheek. For a long moment, I stood frozen, holding my hand to my face, speechless with the shock and pain. My fingers felt ice cold, but there was something warm and wet on the face, and it took a moment for me to realize it was blood, that the molding on the door had cut my cheek. I wanted to run back to bed and to shove my head under the pillows and cry and cry, but a small, ugly voice in my skull kept saying, he's still out there. What if he comes back? What if he comes back for you? There was a sound from out in the hallway, something falling, and I felt a rush of fear that should have galvanized me, but instead paralyzed me. Don't come back. Don't come back. I realized I was holding my breath, and I made myself exhale long and shuddering, and then slowly, I forced my hand out towards the door. There was another crash in the hallway, outside breaking glass, and with a rush, I grabbed the knob, braced myself. My bare toes dug into the old, gappy floorboards, ready to hold the door closed as long as I could. I crouched there against the door, hunched over with my knees and my chest, and I tried to muffle my sobs with my dressing gown while I listened to him ransacking the flat, and hope to God that Delilah had run out into the garden out of harm's way. At last, after a long time, I heard the front door open and shut, and I sat there crying into my knees and unable to believe he'd really gone, that he wasn't coming back to hurt me. My hands felt numb and painfully stiff, but I didn't dare let go of the handle. I saw again those strong hands in the pale latex gloves. I don't know what would have happened next. Maybe I would have stayed there all night, able to move, but then I heard Delilah outside meowing and scratching at the other side of the door. Delilah, I said hoarsely. My voice was trembling so much I hardly sounded like myself. Oh, Delilah. Through the door, I heard her purr, familiar deep chainsaw rasp, and it was like a spell had been broken. I let my crumpled fingers loosen from the doorknob, flexing them painfully, and then stood up, trying to steady my trembling legs and turned the door handle. It turned too easily, twisting without resistance under my hand. Without moving the latch at an inch, he'd removed the spindle from the other side. And then she writes a little bit of profanity where it's a four-letter word, and I was trapped. So that is the first chapter of The Woman in Cabin 10. Make sure you read that. That's highly recommended here on The Daily with Soul Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents The Coffee Chronicles. I'm enjoying my coffee, and I hope you enjoyed the first part of The Woman in Cabin 10 by the amazing international author, Ruth Ware. And I hope you all have a great day, and thank you for joining me again on The Daily with Sil Stein through Anchor FM presents The Coffee Chronicles. And don't forget, tomorrow we will have the amazing Francine Lee W. on the podcast. So stay tuned. Have a great one, everyone, and happy, happy Wednesday, because as I always say, The Coffee Chronicles, because it all begins with coffee and also books. Have a great one.